To the Church of Mavis. We're back after a long week of solar flares and intense heat and weather changes and all kinds of fun, exciting things. Tonight's guest, William Whitecrow. The show's entitled The Shaman to Do the Last Dance. We're going to get into earth changes and his perspective on many things. Just briefly, I wanted to touch base on the show next week. We have Winter Lake, and a show entitled Lucifer in the Sky with Demons. It's going to be a very fascinating interview. I confirmed it today. Winter's also appeared on Coast to Coast with George Norrie several times. And on the show, we've had many discussions about, you know, what do people believe about good and evil and, you know, the devil and God. Very philosophical discussions with guests and their perspectives. So basically, next Saturday at 11 p.m. Eastern, we're going to interview a Satanist. And keep in mind that this Satanist is... been up Coast to Coast before, many times, and he's also worked with the police to help solve homicides with his psychic ability. He's also a successful author on Amazon.com. If you pull up his name, Winter Lake, all his books are well reviewed, and he's also written a book on the LaVey family, Anton LaVey's sister. It should be a pretty weird, strange interview, no matter which way you look at it. I look at it as a learning experience, and, you know, if you're a Christian, you can look at it as, hey, there's millions of people that are like this. So either way, we're going to be getting into a topic of paranormal oddities and spirituality of the metaphysical and the occult with Winter Lake, so look forward to next week.
And hey, let's be clear here that Satanists do not worship the devil. They do not believe in the devil. They call themselves Satanists and do all the rituals and all that stuff to piss off the Christians. Because of the, you know, just basically the hypocrisy that's in religion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they are, Satanism is basically just a philosophy of oneself and nature. It's taking stuff from Crowley and Tibet and, you know, the different sprinklings of everything. And it's just worshiping yourself, you know, I guess is the easiest way to put it. And they use lots of different symbolism and stuff like that, that an uneducated person would just because it's dark, would immediately assume it's evil, you know. So, you know, it's not going to be like we got, you know, some witch on here casting spells and worshiping the Dark Lord, you know.
It's a guy with a mask that looks like somebody from a Rob Zombie horror movie.
I know Rob Zombie.
I'm just kidding. It should be a fascinating interview, and either way, you know, you can look at it as a learning experience. And if you're Christian, you can look at it as, hey, there are millions of these people, and I'm a Christian, and they're a Satanist. So, hey, well, it should be fascinating nonetheless and bizarre. And that's what we like to do. So let's get to our guest. How's it going, William?
It's going just fine. I had a funny little laugh there when you mentioned Rob Zombie. Mark Woodcock, he is his production manager, a good friend of mine, and he's on the road with him all the time. So, yeah, it's been a pretty good season for him, too. But, yeah, I'm doing really great and watching these earth changes and everything that's happening and actually kind of enjoying it.
Yeah, it's you reach a point of seeing so much of it, you got to throw fear and worry out the window and just become amused with it, right? You just sit back and say, hey, this is, you know, let's be the trickster and just see what happens. And that's pretty much what I've been doing.
Well, you know, really, what is going on, everything is it has its cycles. I mean, whether it's the government or whether it's us, whether it's Mother Nature, whatever it is, it has cycles. You know, and that's basically what's happening right now. I've seen so much of this happen. You know, with the weather change. Ever since I was a kid, I've been watching this, and that's what's really kind of amusing to me, that all these people see these things happening, and they're really not wanting to do anything about it. They're happy in their comfort zones.
Hey, you know, there is actually unmelted snow in Utah. That the ski resorts are still open. They're going to be open till through July.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we got rain down here, and one day we got 2.5 inches of rain. And that's the most we've had in this area in years. We're just watching. It's really fascinating because some parts of the world where it was really wet is now drying up, and other places where it was really, you know, dry is getting rain. I mean, it's really fun to watch in a sense. I mean, not for the people, those that are being cast out because of the storms and things of this nature, like, you know, back east it just happened with the tornadoes. But this is a warning. This is Mother Earth telling people, hey, you know, we're in for some big changes.
So, William, if you could get into your nationality and how you grew up with tribes, native tribes, give us some background, if you could, on that scenario, please.
Well, sure. I grew up here in California on some of the reservations. I also went to New Mexico. I used to travel quite a bit here and there, going to the powwows and everything. And I ran into a few people as I was traveling that started teaching me the old ways and the path, and as we call it, the red path. And really, as I kind of grew into it, I started understanding that it wasn't just a red path. It was a way of life, of balance, of understanding, of learning how to look at the world really in a different way. We've lost contact of how to really stop, feel, listen, and hear. And see what is going on in the world. I also spent a lot of time, I was in the service, I went to all over the world, you know, Cambodia, Vietnam, places like this. I was a soldier for a while. But when I came back, after being in that combat zone and everything, that's really when things started changing with me. And then I lost a son. And it was a little more. I went from the warrior, which were all spirit warriors, into more of the spiritual quest. I've been taught as a shaman all my life, growing up and traveling around, but, you know, after I went to Vietnam and came back and looked at the world the way it was going, that kind of put the direction on where I was going to go and what I was going to do in life.
All right, so as far as studying with these tribes and, you know, learning healing and the spiritual perspectives and belief systems of the tribes, right now, as far as what the earth is going through, what are they saying about it? Are they saying that it's a transition point? What is the word on the street, so to speak, about the transition we're going through right now on earth?
I'm glad you said that, because as far as the Hopi is going, we're going into the fifth world right now. This is a period of change, a time of massive change. And mankind has two paths to take. And in the Hopi ways and everything, it talks about the two paths that men are going to take. One is going to be continue going the way we are now, which is going to lead into planetary resource destruction, you know, more control over the humans and everything like this, you know, when what the, shall we, a lot of people like to call them the elite, whatever we wish to call them, they're the power structure. you know, and if we keep going the way we are, then this planet and everything is going to be in a far worse position than it can be. Then there's another line that we take, and those are people like me and probably you guys and hundreds of thousands of other people out there, and that's a path of understanding who we are, what we are, learning a balance within our lives and within the planet. The planet's going to go through some serious cycles right now. Sun activity, earthquake activity, we're taking too much. And this is what the elders and all the shamans and medicine women and medicine men and everybody are talking about when we get together now. You know, we've almost taken too much to the point of where some things are not going to return to the cycles, the normal cycles that they used to. And that's pretty much where we're at right now. I mean, even the dead zones in the ocean, you know, these are growing. What was it, a couple months ago, thousands of fish washed up on the beach in Southern California, Central Southern California area. And when they autopsied those fish, they found out that they died from asphyxiation. Now, this is, you know, right off the coast of California. You know, the birds dropping out of the air. There are some really serious things happening out there right now, and people better start paying attention. Start snoring. You know, I mean, I talked to a lot of the world's top people in interviews on radio shows that I've done, and my own radio show, Sovereign Minds, when I was there, which Nate's taking that over, and I'm doing other radio shows and working on a movie right now. And, you know, we tried to get the information out, but you can only help so many people. A lot of people are going to still stay blind, you know, and be the sheep, as we say.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter what we do, you know. The Earth is going to go through its changes, and we better, you know, we better be ready to just make changes and, you know, make adjustments in our lives.
Oh, yeah, we better, as we call it, you know, suck it up, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
things are going to change, and really it's fascinating because, you know, let's put it straight up. Humans have been in this comfort zone for much too long. You know, our period of time in history, our period of time on this planet, our weather patterns and everything has been very calm for a long, long time. You know, and I've studied way back at the beginning of the planet and everything, all the way up to looking at these weather patterns. And where our planet is swinging, our whole solar system is now in a different place in the galactic plane. I mean, a lot of things are happening. Of course, these cycles are going to change as time and everything goes on. There's no getting around it. Yeah, we're in some really interesting times. Look at this earthquake that took place in Japan. A lot of people are saying HARP and this and that. Well, you know, in reality, Mother Nature is trying to shake the fleas off its back right now, I believe. I mean, that's what seems what's happening. And this is what
Thank
the
you.
Elders are talking
about. Thank you. I'm so sick of HARP. You have no idea how sick of HARP I am.
I was in the conspiracy thing for a while because I wanted to understand it more, and I did radio show. You know, we had our own show, and it gets to a point where you can't blame everything that is happening on some military project, you know, or some secret government project. The Earth is the Earth, and we're not paying attention to the warning signs. And those that don't pay.
Oh, yeah, our attention span is probably about 2 months that I've noticed. Hey, I saw an article about with a scientist that said that he believed that humans are extinct proof. And that right there is the arrogance that is going to make us extinct.
And you know what? And you hit the nail on the head there. You're very right. Arrogance is one thing that people have too much of. I live my life close to the ground, and the earth and Mother Nature and everything. I work with cancer patients, every kind of patient you could think of. I've seen the changes. It's very obvious to the average individual. You don't have to be a genius to see that this arrogance, where it's gotten us now. You know, our atmosphere is thinning, the ozone's damaged, the food chain and the oceans are now breaking down. You know, 80 to 90% of some fish stocks in the ocean, total oceanic chain is in the extinction list now, basically. You know, they're not dying off. They're not catching big fish anymore. Migratory routes are changing. Yeah, there's a lot happening. People better knock their arrogance off and start trying to find a good balance within their life, because it isn't going to come from the governments. It isn't going to come from the churches. It's going to come from the individuals out there, each and every single one of us, me and you. And if we don't do something, our children, what do they got? Nothing.
They get a mess.
Yeah.
You know, I could maybe see in countries or stuff like that where, and this is very rare, I guess, where money is not the end-all, be-all. But as long as money is the end-all, be-all and capitalism reigns supreme, you know, and that sort of thing, you know, I'm not bagging on America. I'm just saying that's where our focus is. That's where everybody's focus is on the money. Their money, everybody else's money, whatever.
Yes, I agree with you.
And they're going to be like, holy crap, it's hot outside. You know.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, I've grown up among the clan and tribal systems. They work. You know, and this is the problem about having a large society. It's like we were talking earlier, people do get in those comfort zones, and they fail to themselves. And this, I think this is the key factor here. You know, we get to a certain age. How many people really read anymore after they get out of high school or college or whatever? The percentage is way down. You know, they don't educate themselves. People don't anymore. And, but once you start, really, it comes down to this. What pill do you want to take, the blue pill or the red pill? You know, once your eyes are open and you see what's going on, then you start making these appropriate changes within your own life, with your own cycles and systems within your life, to start living a more balanced situation and let that arrogance and stuff go. We don't have time to be arrogant anymore. Our time is running out, I believe. And I hope for the best for mankind. I really do. And I can see a very positive future if people wake up and start taking the steps to make it that way.
So what do you recommend people to do to help out right now as far as becoming centered? Is it seeking the spiritual realms on, you know, any level possible, right? And, you know, what can someone, let's say someone's listening to the show and they want to know what to do to help as far as from a spiritual perspective, what advice could you offer on that?
Well, you know, the really first thing that we have to get to do, period, before we do anything, is get to know who and what we are. You know, once we understand who we are and how life is for us and our particular likes and dislikes, and then we can start changing our paradigm on the way we look at things and the way life is to us. It really is true that we create the world around us, you know. If somebody wants to turn around and really help, and then what they need to do is look at what, I'll give you a good example here. I live in the woods and everything, down a 3-mile dirt road. We produce all of our own power. We produce all of our own water. We produce all of our own everything, pretty much. And we were working on doing the food things. But grow a simple garden so you don't have to put that much money out, you know, on your bills, food bills and things like that. Learn to start using small solar panels and everything to, you know, start taking care of your own power needs and everything. Because I look at things that, remember how things are, let's say, Star Wars, when Luke Skywalker seen his aunt and uncle, and they're in this desert, and they got this home, and they got their own thing going, and that's how they, you know, support themselves, barter and things of this nature. This is what we need to learn to do. The more we could back away from the money system and in the medical association, these controllers of things that heal us, if people really want to get healed from cancer, one of the big things is vitamin B17. Do they make it? Is it on the market? No, it isn't. I wonder why. But the other thing, you know, what we can do is start getting together in groups in our own communities and start working together, helping one another. If you know an herb that'll help somebody's ailment, then teach them about it, because that person's going to teach the next person. If they don't know anything about gardening, join the local gardening club or something of this and get into understanding, or talk to a neighbor and get a garden going together. If you see some people that have a yard, let's say an elderly couple that really can't get out and do something, you know, I'm the type of person, I try every week to go help somebody that I don't know. And I would be the first one on their thing. Hey, you need your lawn mowed? I just do it just for the heck of it. That creates a very positive energy flow in one's life. Once you got that positive energy flow in your life, there's really nothing that can stop you once you've taken the right colored pill. Because once you've taken the pill that opens your eyes and wakes you up, you can never go to sleep again. So you're automatically going to try to find things that will make life better for you and live a more balanced life. That's pretty much it in a nutshell. Help one another.
Well, yeah, when you do positive things, it raises your vibrations, and that's definitely, I believe, the ultimate, you know, goal of the spirit is to, you know, feel the highest positive vibration. So
it's all energy. Everything we do, our decisions and how we react to things, it's all energy. And the higher we can raise that vibratory plane and that level of consciousness, the better off we are. Because they're blinding us right now. They don't want us. Look at our education systems and everything. It's crazy. They're keeping children. They're keeping you and me. They want us to be dumb. They don't want us to wake up. Because when we wake up, what they do doesn't matter to us anymore because we don't even live in their world.
Yeah, we got to push as many kids through the, you know, meat grinder as possible. And if we have super high standards, and that means, you know, tons of kids aren't going to graduate and make it through school.
That's right. That's how come I believe in the home education system. You know, in many ways it is, you know, some people say, oh, they don't learn as much. Well, I tell you what. I've been doing research and everything on the people that are doing home education, and they're doing just as good, if not better, than the government-sponsored education system that most, well, we'll say 80%, 90% of the children go through now, because they get that time, special time. In the old days, the grandparents were the psychologists, shall we say, and they would help with education, you know, schooling the kids. It became a family thing. And what has been taught now in the last 100 years is to be separate. They don't want people working together. They don't want us teaching one another. They don't want us going out like we're doing on this radio show, and you guys are doing a great job out there getting the truth out. Those that are in control, these corporations and everything that are in control, hate the truth. Because once the truth comes out and we wake up, we don't use their products and stuff anymore, unless it's, of course, absolutely necessary.
Right, and then they just rebrand it. Listen, yeah. there were senators apologizing to the CEOs and the executives of BP when they had that oil spill for everybody being mad. You know, we're sorry, everybody's yelling at you, and
you know, Halliburton should have been sunk right then and there. You know, what they did to the environment and the people that live along those coastlines. Look at the hydrogen sulfide gases and other gases and chlorines and stuff that came up out of those holes. They were at the 1,000% range above normal for a period of time in the Gulf of Mexico. You know, I mean, these corporations, these people like this, they don't care. And who cares about those politicians? Those politicians want to turn around and be in a corporation's pocket? Let's knock them out of the box, vote them out. You know, I mean, but a lot of people are not voting now because they feel that, you know, their vote doesn't count anymore. So that's a, kind of a catch-22 situation, and in many ways you have to agree with them.
Yeah, and the thing with that is that I'm worried about is by all the people that aren't going to vote is it's like they're just handing it over to the people that we don't need in there at all.
You are 100% right. And that's why I do these radio shows and stuff, because what we need to do is take back our power. I really mean that in every way, because, you know, in the old days, if somebody didn't do what was right, they were voted out in a minute. Now, if the American people would get real like that, you know, and take that vote, and I mean everybody, and get serious about it, we can make some certain big changes. But, you know, too many people like their color TV and their radios and their, you know, air conditioning in their home. They really don't want to rock the boat because it might screw up their comfort zone. You know, they have to really do something for life.
Yeah, because once you get out of that comfort zone, man, sometimes you never get back.
Well, you don't, but see, that's the problem. Then we don't grow. The only thing that makes us grow is a challenge to our mind, to our spirit, and to our lives. And until we turn around and realize that thing and say, well, wait a minute. You know, this is a good example here. You ever go to the lake and everything, and lakes are different temperatures, and you just run on off out there and you jump in the lake, and you realize it's colder than heck. So you're dog paddling back, barely breathing, and your friends turn around and go, hey, how was it? You go, fine, come on in. And that's what the corporations are doing to us. They're just tricking us, they're pulling the wool over our eyes, and pretty soon we're in the cold water sinking with everybody else. But once you open your mind, and the main thing is your spirit, once you start growing your spirit and seeing this stuff, then you really don't take part in it anymore. And these politicians and everything, they do need to go. We have outgrown, literally, gentlemen and ladies and everybody out there, we have outgrown our political systems, the one that's intact right now, the one that's running this country and actually starting to run the world. And we have outgrown our religious systems in this country and around the world. They are hampering the growth of the human being. we've evolved to the point now where it's time for us to reach for the stars. It really is. Because there's 8 billion of us on this planet right now. And facts are facts. One day we're going to run out of food, we're going to run out of water. I don't care what science says. That's just the way the ball Occam's razor. You know, I mean, everybody understands what that means. And the facts are sitting right there in front of us. 40 countries, over 40 countries, could not produce enough food for their people this year and last year. So that means the global food supply is dropping. So, you know, people better start waking up and not be watching that TV all the time thinking everything's nice, because these political people are not doing us a favor.
No, because they don't see it, because they walk into the grocery store and it's, you know, whatever they want for as far as they can see. Nobody's inconvenience. Nobody's, you know, once it starts hitting their checkbook and once it starts interfering with their day-to-day life, will say something. Other than that, they're like, oh, yeah, that's a shame.
Right, you know, exactly. And, you know, unfortunately in this world, let's give a good example here, hyperinflation. Now, Gerald Celente, I talked to him. We talked several times, and he's one of the nation's trendsetters, you know, things of this, forecasters, I mean. And he does really good out there. He was on one of my radio shows. And we turn around, we're talking. He goes, these people are crazy out there now. You know, they're spending money that we don't have. And inevitably, once people start dumping these treasury bills, which they're starting to kind of do now, and all of a sudden there's a run, and everybody starts dumping those treasury bills, and they got a big pile of money, or do something with that pile of money so they buy commodities. Right now, I just had a friend call me that, you know, he's with the Fortune 500 people, and he told me that they're starting to buy wheat, oats, corn, all these Depression-era food stocks. So all the signs are there. Something's definitely going to happen.
You know why they're buying it? Because my dad used to buy commodities, and he used to pray for a drought.
That's right.
Like soybeans. He's like, come on, give me a drought. I need a new huge 100-inch TV.
Oh, man.
Go
ahead.
Yeah, that's
what
you want.
The thing about that, when you start seeing those things, and I'm avid on telling people, prepare yourself. Don't be scared. Get prepared. And people really need to do that. Because in the old days, where our grandparents and their grandparents, you know, and stuff of this nature, we took care of our own. You know, we grew enough food for our little families, and that's why families were big. They helped one another. They worked in the garden, on the farm, whatever, and it worked during those times. But society, the way it is now, has taken us away from self-sufficiency. And that is a big problem. Then we depend on the corporations for everything from our medicine to our food to whatever it is. And it really doesn't take that much to start growing a garden or storing a little bit of food. Go to the cheap places if you want to store food. They got places called the dollar store, the bargain bin, you know, these food stores that'll buy the cases of stuff that are left over from the main corporations. And they sell them for half the price. You know, you can really get a good food storage going that way. And I try to tell people, get off all the medications. Don't run to a doctor every time you turn around. Start using some hydrogen peroxide and some alcohol to fix that cut or that scratch. Learn to become self-sufficient.
Survivalism 101. That's right. We tried to grow a garden here recently, and it did all right, but sun scorched most of it, so I've been trying.
Doing some damage. We've even found that up here, everybody that grows tomato plants are having a hard time now. You know, some people are talking, this is the chemtrail thing. I know Dane Wigington, Michael Murphy, and them, good friends. You know, they're fighting a good battle, you know, but it's an uphill battle. But hopefully they'll win in that situation, because what has been happening with the scientists is they're talking about is neutralizing the pH, more of a 7 pH instead. You know, oak trees, pine trees, things need more of an acidic basis. So it's really knocking a lot of the natural environment out of whack and stuff. So, but it doesn't matter wherever it comes from. You have to adapt and you have to improvise. By learning how to adapt and improvise and doing things the simple way, you get a better chance of survival and a better chance of making it, no matter what the economic situation turns out to be in the United States or globally.
So So this week, Celestial, what exactly went on with the sun? Have you been keeping up with that at all?
I love watching the sun. I've been watching it for probably 30 years.
What did it? I have a weird sun thing too. There's a weird sun interaction with me and the sun a lot. That's definitely.
Yeah, and you can feel it different on your arms, you know, in your face when you're out there. It just feels different. I used to do some farming down in the San Joaquin Valley a while back, and one day I walked out. It was almost like even the color had changed. You know, instead of that yellow sun glow, now it's more whiter. You know, and a sun can go through cycles, as we all know it is right now. We're in for some hard times. We're going to have a cell phone disruption. We're just in the beginning of phases of this cycle for the sun, too, every 11 and 22 years. So what is happening right now is natural, but because of the other galactic things that are happening here, we get a large cloud our whole solar system is going through right now. So there's a lot more pressure. When people talked about, let's say, global warming, they didn't stop to look at all the other planets in our solar system and realize every single planet in our solar system is heating up as well. So what's causing that? Now our sun is more active than it ever has been. So we're seeing that there's a pressure being exerted on our entire system. So, yeah, we're going to see a lot more of this activity. I do expect the power grid in certain areas of the planet in between now and 2013 or so to start breaking down. We have a very weak infrastructure right now. And, well, this weekend, even if you've seen pictures and movie from the SOHO satellite on that massive CME, that was impressive. That's the biggest one I've ever seen. And I've been watching them for a long time. We're going to have a lot more solar activity. It is affecting our planet in ways that we don't even see yet. And I believe that when we're talking about, you know, the global warming situation, it isn't only man. It is a lot of Mother Nature, the cycle, our time period, a 36 to 26,000 year swing. So there's a lot more to it than just, you know, Al Gore's aspect of what's really going on. But I do have to say about Al Gore's calculations that they're pretty much right on the money, according to most scientists around the world.
Yeah, it's going to get bad if all that methane, you know, all the methane and everything starts coming out of all the lakes and the oceans and and the permafrost. It's going to be really bad.
It's already getting there. I know places in the ocean right now. I've seen it myself, where the methane is just bubbling up out of the ocean like crazy, you know, and it's not going to stop. I really think that this warming situation is going to get to the point where that is really going to start happening more and more, an increase, percentage increase.
Yeah.
So what's your perspective on the comet Elenin?
Well, when it hit perigee, it broke apart, you know. And I've seen the pictures, and they say there's a fleet of craft and everything behind it and everything. Well, people can believe what they want. They need to do their research. You know, our job is to wake people up, and then we tell them, don't believe what we say. Go look this up yourself and see what's going on. And in November, we're going to be real. October, November is the time period when we're going to be starting to come into this tail of this thing. I think we're going to have some really massive light shows. And there's a possibility, since it is in several chunks, that we could catch a small piece or two. Now, nothing that's going to be an ELENIN, and, you know, extinction-level event. A lot of people talk about the first three letters of that name. Well, that is going to happen eventually. How many planetary extinctions have we had on this planet already? Man is not one of these people that can just survive anything. Insects are. We're not an insect.
Yeah, we have no protection against anything. Listen, you know, I'm not really a doom and gloom type guy. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't think what's happening is going to kill us all and everything. But
right,
I've been a fan of Nostradamus for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got a lot. I mean, he's just got a lot of things. He's got a lot of things right. I mean, he really did. A lot of unimportant things, too. You know, like, you know, just things that happened in our world that you wouldn't think that, you know, you
would... You hit the nail on the head. The unimportant things are the important things.
Right.
To him. Because
you know,
can all say, oh, we're going to have an earthquake next year. Well, of course we're going to have an earthquake next year. The thing about Nostradamus is he was able to pick time periods and say these events are going to happen, which
right.
a lot of other people do. I've done it. I did it with the Twin Towers. I was sitting in my living room. We had a group of people, and for some reason I just had this flash come through my mind. And I told everybody, I just seen a plane hit a tall building. It's not here. We don't have tall buildings out here, you know, in Northern California or anything. And I'll be darned when that happened, and that was a pretty much shocker, because you don't want to see these things as a medicine person, you know. These are very negative things that happen, and it allowed our government or those in control to throw something in the fire here in the works, this Patriot Act situation, to start controlling the people more and more and more. You know, have them thumbs on every aspect of our lives now. And they just redid it again, of course, as you know. But there's a little clause in there. They don't have to go to court to eavesdrop on you anymore.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know.
With Nostradamus, my thing was is that there, skeptics always complain about psychics, about how it's always after the fact that you say, oh, he hit this. It's not, like Nostradamus has all these quatrains out there, and now we've got the turn of the century.
Mm-hmm.
We got the third Antichrist dying, and this is my interpretation of the Antichrist for Nostradamus.
Okay.
The Antichrist, according to Nostradamus, is the worldwide enemy of man.
Yeah.
If you look at Napoleon, Hitler, Osama, those were worldwide hated figures, and a lot of energy and thought was put into those people, just thinking, like people around the world just thinking about them.
Yep.
You know.
That's the way I looked at it.
So he would.
I'm glad you said that, because really, the enemy of the people is the Antichrist. You know, that is evil. Now, are we in a battle between good and evil? Yeah, we are. You know, that which is for good man for of mankind, for him and her, you know, and that which is not good for us, you know. 90% of what we're getting right now is Nostradamus is hit it on the head. I mean, the perfect nail.
Yeah,
and,
but he hit two more big ones, too. Just recently with the comet.
Oh yeah.
Okay. And
maybe.
Congress just okayed to open end the war on terrorism.
Yep.
Which means it's going to be a war that is going to last, well, according to Nostradamus, 27 years.
True. Sure,
okay? Look where we're at right now. We're bombing Yemen.
Mm-hmm.
We're in Libya. We're in Iraq. We're in Afghanistan.
The Middle East will be on fire, and that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, it's and with all the uprisings in all of the different countries, you know, it's never going to end. The people are not going to. Once this process started, it's not going to stop. You know, the people in the Middle East, the people in the Middle East, like the everyday market people and the fruit sellers and everything, you know, they've had it. And they've had their awakening.
Yes, they have.
And now they're marching.
This is what I talk about. And most of the talks and everything that I give and every radio show that I go on, I turn around and talk about this. We have evolved. We woke up. A lot of people don't understand what this wake-up process is. They don't feel right. They feel something's wrong. They're not quite sure what it is. But they know something's wrong, and they know something big is going to happen again. Just like before 9/11, you know, a lot of people of the United States was, let's use this proverbial term, waiting for the other shoe to drop, you know. And then, bam, it did, 9/11. And since then, everything has been in chaos. Now, this is all predicted to Nostradamus as well. You know, talking about the chaos of the masses and everything, the control factors, You know, those who come in peace are going to be the ones that's going to be causing more problems, meaning like the Obama situation and everything. Oh, we're going to pull out. Yeah, right. We went into more countries.
Can't pull out. You went in there, you screwed it up, and now you're going to pull out and leave this vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
You can't pull out. You know, you can't do it.
No, you can't. And the reason they created a terrorist war, my friend, is because there is no borders in a terrorist war.
That's right.
There are none. They can go anywhere, anytime, do anything they want. You know, Pakistan's against us now because of the things we've done. But everybody's going to be against this. And the problem is here, it isn't the American people that is doing this. And they're hating us and hunting us in other countries and stuff. It's these power people that are creating the flat, the hatred, and everything between not only the races, the cultures, the different countries, and everything. And as long as they keep people fearing, and as long as they keep people fighting back and forth and arguing with one another, we're not going to pay attention to what they're doing. And as long as we don't pay attention to what they're doing, then they're going to keep doing it. You know, and this is that vicious circle that we talked about at the beginning of the show.
We're a fear-based species.
Yes.
Pretty much, if you really think about everything that you do during the day, how much of it is done out of fear?
Fear
of making a mistake, fear of tripping on your shoelace, fear of getting pulled over. You understand what I'm saying? It's all fear-based. If they keep us afraid and look any other way, you know.
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying. That is why I preach, don't fear. You know, just get yourself prepared. Become knowledgeable about what is really going on in the world. We can't do that all overnight if you've never done it before. You know, that's why you do your radio show. You bring this information out to people so when they are done with the show, they go, I got to go check that out. And they do. And that's the fantastic thing about shows like you guys and everything is because you're looking for truth here. We're not just sitting here BSing one another. You know, we're a group of people here, all of us on that are listening to the show and everything, are sitting here, never met one another before, never really knew each other before, but I'll be darned, we all come to the same conclusion. Interesting.
Yep. May take different paths to get there. Yep.
Yeah. And you're right. They do teach us to fear, but this is the waking up process. Once people, you know, really kind of wake up, and they've taken that pill, and I like to use that term from the Matrix, because it is a matrix of deception and lies that they put out there. And this goes right on down to religion. I mean, right down into the crux of the biscuit, as we say, as Frank Zappa would say. They've been controlling people and lying to people on who and what we really are for a long time. They've been hampering our growth. Now, once we wake up and we start seeing things like what the government's doing, the IMF, the banking, they're talking about the Amero, the North American Union, all this kind of stuff, or the extraterrestrial, reverse engineered technology. Once you start realizing this, then you understand that this facade that they call society and life is just a cover.
You know what,
That's
William?
All it is.
I do not think you can sit somebody down who's comfortable in their life. They go to church on Sundays. They've got it all lined up. You know, they got their belief system. They got their God. They got their paycheck. They got their money. They got their things that they go and do. And then you come and say, hey, this is going on. This is going on. This is going on. This is going on. And they're screwing.
Yeah? You there?
Hello?
You there, guy? I'm here.
Hey. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, wow, that was interesting.
Sorry.
Go ahead, I can hear you fine now. I just had to switch phones for some reason. We got stopped there for a minute. Maybe we were getting too hot.
But you know, as long as they can do all the things that, you know, and they can just walk around in a little bubble.
Mm-hmm.
That's a comforting thing for a lot of people, and I've realized that about a lot of people. They just don't care. It's like not that big of a deal.
You know, and that's okay for a while, my friend, but you know, you can't grow. You know, there's a movie that I watched a long time ago, and it was called Apocalypse Now, and they were in a boat heading up the river. And this one guy turned around and says, well, you know, how do you like, you know, you like this stuff and everything, this combat and everything. And I'm a combat soldier, you know, so I know where he's coming from and everything. And he turns around and he goes, well, how in the heck are you going to realize who you are by sitting behind a desk? You know, we have to take chances, basically, is what he's saying. You know, if we just sit there every single day, watch the same things, you know, play the video games and all that, we're just dumbing ourselves down. Very few people really like to go out and educate themselves anymore. Your listeners are people that like to educate themselves, you know, and that's why we're basically having this show right now is, you know, bringing people out and saying, hey, you know, you call in or you come on the next show, you know, and anybody that's out there, you know, really, if they're into what we're talking about right now, they need to try to get out there and wake more people up because they're starting to wake up. Some of the politicians, I got a call from a fine guy that deals with billions of dollars a year and everything a couple nights ago, and everything. Well, it's been about a week, actually. And he said, you know what, you're right, man, most all these people aren't that bad. They just didn't really realize what was going on because they were part of the system. And once things started happening to them, because they didn't follow suit, they started losing money, bank accounts, things like this, then it was like, oh, now they start to see the picture. So they're starting to take the pills and wake up. And I go, yeah, but you know what? Most of those people out there are just, as long as they got that cash in their hand, they don't care what happens to their fellow neighbor, which yep. is the difference between me and you and everybody else out there listening. We care. You know, what is going to happen to your children, your grandchildren's future if we don't do something about it now?
Yep. You know, my one of the things I've noticed is that there's people, a lot of the conspiracy people are running around telling everybody to wake up and, you know, I think their hearts are in the right place, but they're just running around in circles. They've become fundamentalists, like a Christian, mm-hmm. you know.
Oh, like and a Christian Taliban?
Yeah, exactly. And you have guys like Alex Jones and Bill Cooper from 10 years ago, and then these other guys that may think they're doing good, but they're not. They're screaming and yelling. They're using fear mm-hmm. to get them to. They're no different. They're no different from these other people, and they're creating. Those people are just as delusional as the people not doing anything.
Well, that's how come we say waking up to sheep. We're talking about waking people up to their own existence. It isn't the thing about what the government is doing or any of this. Really, there's nothing we can do about that. We can talk about it until we're blue in the face, but who's going to get up and do something about it? Nobody. They're not going to get out of their comfort zones to get up and do this. They'll say, well, I'll fight them off to with my dying words and everything like this, but you know what? No, they just come in on you at nighttime, pick you up, throw you in prison for 20 years, and it's done.
Yeah,
I mean,
man.
That's the way they work. So when we're talking about waking people up, we're talking about people waking up to the reality of who they are, what their capabilities are, and understand that each and every one of us are evolving as we're speaking right now. It's been going on for thousands of years, but see, the thing about it is here, we're alive watching that evolution. So it happens over time, and we don't feel it. We don't see it. But it's like growing up from being a small child to an adult with a college education. It takes time. It takes patience and perseverance and tenacity.
You know, the American people, what really pains me is that the American people is okay with the Patriot Act. They think the Patriot Act is something to that's going to protect them. Mm-hmm. And it was a fear-based whatever.
Yeah.
And people do not understand that. Yes, they do not understand that they can do whatever, whenever they want to you, even if you are not a terrorist. They could say, oh, you're a terrorist. See, they created a new definition for it. Anybody who's against the state or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, now even if you, let's say, in the old days, this is a good example of exactly what you're talking about on the terrorist thing. In the old days, it was mutual combat. If, let's say somebody had a disagreement and they got in a fight, okay? And now if you turn around and tell that same person nowadays, hey, I'm going to come over there and kick your butt, that's considered a terrorist threat.
Yep.
Why did they take it out of the normal civilian stuff of, okay, it's a mano-a-mano thing, sign it off, let them go, give them both a ticket or something, and let it go. No, now it's turned into a national security issue. And why did they call it a terrorist threat? Because now, when they type in somebody's name, they can see if there's anything terrorist attached to their name. If it is, like you got an argument and threatened somebody, and it's called a terrorist threat, and they pull that up, then all of a sudden you went to a different level of security. And you're right. They can come in and get you anytime they want, anywhere. They can shut your bank accounts down. They can make your life miserable. They can do anything they want. That's how come you have to wake up, and then you're not part of their matrix.
And you are completely powerless.
Yeah. Yeah. You really are. I mean, what are we going to do? The only way this is going to work, if we want things to change, is do exactly what happened in Egypt and stuff peacefully. You know, the Gandhi syndrome. You know,
right.
We don't want to go out there, because as soon as we pick up a gun and go over there and say, well, you know, I'm tired of this, I'm going to blow so-and-so's head off or whatever, then you do a violent act, which they can impose more and more and more laws and restrictions on our average society. It isn't the gun laws, you know, they're just doing that so they can throw more people in jail because they don't want anybody to have weapons, you know. I mean,
yeah, they got a whole country of armed people to deal with. You know what I mean?
Yeah. and we're country people, you know. And the old saying, you can pry my gun away from me out of my cold, dead hands. There's a lot of people that believe that and think that. Now, I will protect my family, even though I'm a highly spiritual individual, you know. And I, you know, I've been a soldier and stuff like this. But really, the problem here is people are living in fear. They're starting to arm themselves in a heavy way because they are predicting, and as long as there's a massive group of people that thinking that something is going to happen, it's going to happen because we're going to put that energy out there to make it happen. So we're heading for a government and a society clash eventually here.
Yeah, yeah. Those same people will actually probably be the catalyst for whatever happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes, sir.
You know, that's something that they'll go start or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got about. Go ahead, man.
No, I was going to say, we got to think. You know, also we're only living on one level of society here, my friend. You know, and everybody out there. You know, they have technologies out there that are 300-400 years, 1,000 years ahead of us, and they could use that technology to make everything better on this planet. But are they going to do that? I don't think so. It's the haves and the have-nots in a big way. But we can step out of that paradigm.
Americans don't really understand that, you know, you go to Mexico, you go to Cuba, you go to all these African countries, just everywhere, and they don't have the technology that we have that we use on a daily basis. They're carrying water 5 miles, you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. And you know what? Those people are happy.
Yeah, they are.
In many, many cases. Because they only have a few things that they have to deal with. They get their food, they get their water, and make sure their kids are healthy. And we've got so wrapped up in all the matrix of deceptions and lies and the media and everything that we worry about everything else except for those basics.
Yeah. Yeah. William, we got about 30 seconds.
Okay.
What's your link, William, real quick? Your link to your website?
Well, my link, you can go to williamwhitecrow.com. I got another website coming up. I've been saying that for a long time, but my computer guy and I are putting it out this week. It's all ready to go now. Had to do updates. Also, you can get a hold of me on Facebook at William White Crow, and you can get a hold of me anytime personally by williamwhitecrow@yahoo.com. And,
okay, we're going to go on a 10-minute break, and we'll come back for the rest of the next hour. And I'd like to get into your UFO experiences and extraterrestrials. And also, I noticed you did a lecture called Seeing Through the Eyes of the Crow. So I want to get into some shaman stuff, seriously.
You betcha.
All right, let's do it. Break time.
Okay.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
To UFO Undercover, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, Joe Montaldo. right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Church of Mavis radio show with your hosts Jeffrey Pritchett and Guy Weddle with our guest William Whitecrow. You're listening to UPRN 105.7. That's right, baby.
Woo! I just fell out of my chair.
Okay, so William, I want to get into some shaman secrets. I saw one of your lectures that I noticed the titles, and they're all very interesting, but one that stood out was Seeing Through the Eyes of the Crow. What do you mean by that?
Excuse me for a second. Basically, what I meant by that is, you know, I've lived my life. I'm almost 60 years old now, you know, 58, and I've just seen so much. I've been through war. I grew up poor on the Indian Reservation. I've seen what being poor can do, you know, for the health and everything like this. I've also, being on the Indian Reservation, we see it's treated people. You know, the gentleman that raised me on the Indian Reservation and everything, and I'll tell you this story, was castrated when he was young, so they couldn't have any more, you know, kids, so he adopted us and taught us many different things about life and everything. But seeing through the eyes of the crows is basically telling everybody from a shaman's point of view what I see happening to the earth right now, what is happening to society, the people, you know, our religions, the governments, everything that is going on out there, and how, I'm going to put it bluntly, how screwed up things are right now, you know, and have been. And they've been getting worse all this time I've seen in my life. I talk about the family structure, you know, and I talk about also, you know, what religion has done, you know, and in some cases it's a good thing for people because it's a stepping stone to spirituality. And we look at everything as a totality from a shaman's point of view, not from the man, regular man's point of view, you know, but from the shaman's point of view. The man will get upset and go do something if somebody tried to do something. The shaman will sit there and try to negotiate and make sure everybody comes out, you know, ahead. I talk about things that I've seen as far as the extraterrestrial aspect, the spirit aspects that I've dealt with, the ceremonies I went through, just a little bit about everything, you know, what I've seen through my life, you know, the ups and downs and the good points and the bad points and of all of us, all of humanity. That's why I'm working on a movie right now, which kind of stemmed from that, called The Earth Time Chronicles. And this movie, we got a producer, and Rick Graham is his name, and he's turning around, and this next Wednesday, I'm handing him the screenplay for the movie, and we're going to go on from there. But it is also talking about all this stuff that I've seen in life and where it is going, and it's from the shaman's point of view. No political, no religious, no nothing. What is really, really happening to us, what is happening to our planet, because ladies and gentlemen out there, we only got one home. You know, you got to think about that. We just can't back up, throw our bags on a spaceship, and move somewhere else. You know, this is reality, what I'm talking about in these particular lectures.
But, William, the religious people, especially the lawmakers who are fundamentalists, believe in their heart of hearts that no matter how bad we screw up the earth, Jesus or somebody's going to swoop down and save us and fix it. That they believe that. That's why they're not making the laws. That's why they're not taking it serious.
I've seen so many people out there, you're right, doing that right now. You know, well, the tribulation is going to come. We're all going to get picked up and we're out here anyway. People, wake up. Wake up. That ain't going to happen. I know you, everybody out there, I had to become a minister, okay? Because we couldn't get in the jail systems to deal with our Indian brothers and sisters and out there in our own belief system. So I had to turn around and become a minister just so we could go into the jails and institutions and talk to our own people. That's control.
Yeah, they just now started allowing Wiccan soldiers to have a pentagram on their gravestone. I mean, they went and fought and died for their country.
Oh yes,
and they weren't allowed to have this. They had to go take them to court.
Yeah, this is what this is part of what, you know, seeing through the eyes of the crow is about. You know, talking about all these idiosyncrasies, and that's really what they are. You have to believe like this. You have to see things our way, or you're not part of what and who we are. And if you're not part of that one, then you don't get the food, you don't get the water, you don't get this, and you don't get that. So they punish you or other belief systems for not following what they want you to do. Now, being Native American and Irish, you know, is my background, and that's how I was raised and everything, you know, as a medicine person and everything. This always got me. Why did a country come over here and other people from another nation come to this country for religious freedom, and the first thing they did was crush every other type of belief system that was in this country and kill the people off and then institute their own? Is that right? Hell no.
It's a manifest destiny, man.
Yeah.
So these people, William, who are the ones in control, the elite, the ones with all the cash, the ones with their own agendas and their own bizarre perspectives of mistreating humanity, what is them? Who are they? Are they just spiritually sick, or are there alien lizard people sucking their souls from them? What's going on with them? What's wrong with these?
Okay, well, you have a couple of schools of thought there. Well, you want to go back in the ancient histories of mankind. All this begins with the ancient Sumerian context. The Anunnaki, you know, coming to this world, creating us and everything. This is something that is a control issue. And these people talk about their bloodlines and how far they go back. And a lot of people say, yes, there's reptilian aliens and stuff of this that are behind these elite that is making sure that they get these technologies. And they made a deal in 1974-76, right around there, saying, listen here, we'll give you a list of all the people we abduct and do this and do that. So they're, you know, and all the native peoples talk about these beings and everything. So we do know that there is something there. There is no doubt. That's the first thing I want to get across. The second thing is these power elite, if they're dealing with these extraterrestrials, they're playing a game that's a double-edged sword. I've heard from my intelligence circles and everything that they want to turn around and use these technologies as much as they can until they get to a point where they can defeat these things. Interesting concept. You know, you're going to try and bite the hand that's feeding you, in a sense. I don't think they're going to do that. As far as the rest of the world, and, you know, let's talk about disclosure here a little bit, that's already handed the government to do it. There's been something that has been with us for thousands, millions of years, and they're not going to go away. I mean, many thousands and millions of people have had their experiences, everything from abductions to seeing crafts to the space shuttles, the ISS, International Space Station. And if you go to the internet right now, you can type in anomalies, you know, SOHO, and you'll see. You there?
Yes.
Okay, I heard a beep there for a second. But you'll see these craft and things of this nature always out there with us, and all of our astronauts are reporting them. So as far as disclosure, we don't need it. We know they're already here. Question is, why are they not telling us? They believe it's going to upset our society, our religious structures and everything. They're protecting their old world theologies, their old ways of looking at these things, because they know they're in power. So what is happening right now is that's getting blown out of the water. They don't want to tell us, but as far as the extraterrestrial aspect of it's going, they're letting us know that we're here, that they're here. And another aspect is all of these craft that people are starting to see now are larger. My question, what are they bringing here, or what are they taking off?
Yeah, definitely. Sightings are on the increase.
Mm-hmm. Abductions are on the increase.
Yeah, and also I noticed recently there was a lot of news in the, I keep up with UFO news in the media just, mm-hmm. you know, to see what's going on. And there was that lady Ann Jacobson that released that story about Roswell being the Russians and, like, mutated children about Area 51.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a big, big discussion about that, and I think the lady's out of her mind or a disinformation agent.
Yeah, I think that's more disinformation. I've been to Area 51 areas. I've been to Dulce, Dugway Proving Grounds. I've done my research. We've even went as far as flying remote aircraft, you know, model aircraft with cameras on, all the, we really get into our research when we go out to dig into something. And being ex-military, and I've worked with ops and stuff like that, we know how to do things. You know, it just isn't a regular average civilian going out there and do something. We plan things in a clandestine operation type of way. And, you know, you use Russian satellite pictures. Everything you can use is at your disposal. You just have to figure out, you know, how you're going to approach a particular thing. And I think that was a big, more of a disinformation. You know, Bob Lazar, you got quite a few people. They tried to shut him up and say he wasn't part of the Area 51 thing. They found his paycheck stub, you know. And also they found his name in their telephone book. So, he didn't work there, but they paid him and they had his phone number for him. So, you know. I mean,
yeah,
things are really,
I noticed
really
that there was a decrease in UFO news for a while. It's been slow ever since. It was definitely kind of peculiar.
Yeah.
It hit peaks.
Well,
but so what is the perspective of extraterrestrials coming from the natives? What are their thoughts on extraterrestrials? And are there extraterrestrials that have humanity's best interests at heart?
Yeah. I believe there is personal experiences and things of this nature. I've interviewed thousands of people on this, and you know, some of them are bad and some of them are good, but there is an aspect of these extraterrestrials, just like humans. We have good humans, bad humans, you know, good dogs, bad dogs, things of this nature. So there is naturally going to be some that are going to be for us because they're more spiritual and scientific in nature, and they don't want to hurt us or get involved, you know, stopping anything, kind of like the Star Trek thing. They got a Federation kind of thing a lot of people talk about. Whether they do that, I don't know, but I do know that there are some here to help us out. Now, the ones that are working with these elite or anything aren't into anything except for resource control and getting what they can. I've had personal experiences that indicate that they really don't care about us, the particular ones. And we're talking about grays in particular and stuff. And we're a resource. And our planet is a resource, and we're in their way in many ways. As far as Native Americans' belief on them now, the Hopi talk about the two brothers. We were brought here to care for this planet. One brother went to the east, one in the west, and when they come back together, that's the beginning and merging of the fifth world. Now, we believe that that's what's happening right now. This new awareness, this new coming of age, this new understanding, this new evolutionary aspect that we're walking into right now. Native Americans do look, and they will tell you that we do have both good and bad here. And that's part of the reason we're here, is to protect this planet from those other types.
So I've always been interested in Native American folklore tales like coyote and, you know, all the animal tales.
And, yeah, the gentle trickster. You know,
yeah.
What are the natives' perspectives on the trickster, on Coyote? Is that still, like, mentioned during our modern time at all? Anyway,
yeah, as a matter of fact, you know, we're talking about animal totems and things like this. Each animal represents a particular way of life, a habit, the way they do things. Like a mouse only sees what's right in front of it, you know, because it's so small. And, you know, it's a massive world we have out here. So a mouse only sees what's right in front of it. So that's a personality type. And then we turn around and we can talk about the coyote, too, the gentle trickster. The one thing they don't tell you, a lot of people don't understand, is the coyote is very family-oriented, you know, very family-oriented. It takes care of them, the male, the female. They both take care of the family. They live in the den. They stay together forever. You know, I mean, it's really an interesting thing when you look at their traits. So when somebody turns around and calls somebody a coyote, that means you've got to watch out for that person because they're a trickster. You know, and they might not necessarily tell you the truth all the time. So my elders always used to talk to me, be careful, that guy's a coyote, you know, or something of this nature. And it was a warning for us, you know, to be cautious around those particular individuals. But yeah, they're associated with particular powers and things like this. You know, when you go on a Mungleche and everything, which is a vision quest and everything, the animals will come to you and everything, and they're helping you spiritually or loaning you some, as the Native Americans believe, their attributes, their personality and power attributes. That's why we have, you know, spirit helpers and spirit animals.
So what is the perspective on the Earth right now as far as the transition period and us going to the fifth world? Does that mean that our consciousness expands and we become a higher vibration rate and it still happens here on the Earth? Do the natives have any type of story of a new earth coming, like the Christian mythos, so to speak? Is there any similarities to an end times?
Yeah, basically what is happening, and we're going back to the Hopi and what we talked about in the beginning, that there is two aspects of man, you know, two situations here. One that is going to be looking for balance and understanding and peace and harmony and working together. And the other aspect of man is going to fall away. It will be destroyed over a long period of time. You know, and it has been happening. We can see what mankind is in worry is going. But there are people out there like us and everything that are looking for this transition. We're looking for this change to happen. And I'm sitting here going, okay, here we go. You know, hold on for the ride, because that's what we are going through right now as we speak, what you were talking about. You know, and it's a great time. It's really a great time to be alive and go through these transitions.
Definitely a roller coaster. There's no doubt about that.
There's no doubt about it. But, you know, once we start to see and hear and feel different, and this is the problem, a lot of people will look at something, but they don't see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. You can look at something and see that nice tree. But in a shaman's point of view, when we look at that, we see its energy. We see its life force, where its roots reach down into the ground, how it draws its nutrients in, how it gives us shade. If it's a fruit tree, let's say a walnut tree, it gives us food for ourselves. And when we turn around and do our harvesting, we always give an offering back. And this is part of what we do. You know, when you take something from Mother Earth or something, you need to give something back, an offering. And a lot of tribes will use the tobacco offering to give back. And because the four directions and medicine wheel and everything is very important to us, you know, this balance aspect. Now, when you're dealing with money and the haves, and these people, you know, that are only looking at the money, they don't care about balance. They don't care about me or you or anything. They're more worried about their money. And that's the other part we're talking about. Those are going to follow that path into their own destruction. Those of us who want to live together and learn how to live harmoniously and learn about herbs and learn about the cycles of the earth and the cycles of the human being, we all have a spring, summer, fall, and winter of life. We just don't look at it that way. And that's what I mean by seeing. We don't see ourselves as we should, really, because we've been, they pulled us out of our spiritual being, our necessity of who we really are. We're only taking care of the physical side. That is the problem with the elite, and that's the separation between them and us. They are thinking about their progress being monetary, and they're not looking at the spiritual side of their lives. Some of them are starting to wake up now, these political individuals. Some of them are. But those who report, they live from day to day, and they learn how to be happy with the small things they have. And when the downtime comes, when that separation, as the Hopi says, and it's happening right now, Those people who just want to follow that way of money and everything is not going to succeed. They won't grow into what they think they're going to turn into.
So when you had your near-death experiences, was that a shamanistic death and rebirth? Is that
what led
to being awakened?
Yeah, I was majorly awakened during that time. I mean, I went through the ceremony, you know, taking close to death and everything like this, and brought back the symbology of it and everything. But I was electrocuted, 24,000 volts, 350 amps, wipe me out right now. And my wife pulled me off the lines and everything like that. Why she didn't get electrocuted, I do not know. But that was a transitioning point in my life. And you can talk to anybody that has had a near-death experience, and they will say the same thing. That's when we really realize that this life that we see on TV and everything is really BS. You know, I mean, that's what it really boils down to. What we're right now is a major transition, and I've seen this a long time ago when that happened, that near-death experience. When I was on the other side before my transition took place, I looked down, I seen my wife, I seen all the neighbors around me, and I turned around, and all of a sudden I got this feeling like, it's okay, it's all going to be okay. And then when I transitioned, went over to the other side, I didn't see this side anymore, but it was like I was standing on this line. You know, the red clay, that color? One side of this line was that color, and the other side is a pure crystalline beach. And I had one foot on one side of the line and one foot on the other, and I'm going, you know, where the heck am I? What is this? You know, I've been taught, that it's one side or the other through the church. And this is, it really solidified my belief in the old ways. It wasn't that way. Everything was bright and beautiful, but I had a choice on what direction I wanted to go. Maybe that's because I'm a shaman, you know, and I've walked this path and walked this thin line of the spirit and being regular human all my life, so I see and I feel things in a different way. But from that point on, helping other people became a mandatory thing in my life. You're building your karma by doing that, you know, and that near-death experience changed me in ways, and understand that we're not just a physical being. We are highly spiritual, highly educated. We can do anything we want if we set our minds to it. We just have to have the tenacity and the belief in ourselves to turn around and start down that path and say, I can do. And that's what the near-death experience did to me. It made me realize that this is just a train. We're only in this physical life for a very short period of time. So might as well live right now for today and be happy. Because if you're going to worry about bills and negative and all the crap that's happened in life, you're never going to be happy. You never will. You have to step beyond that. So what? We got bills. They will take care of themselves in due time. We just got to make a little extra money, but don't let it stress you out. That's another thing that I learned there. But the main thing that I learned in my near-death experience was this. We never die. We are born into this world, and when we leave, we go back home, as the Native Americans call it. This is the dream world we're living in right now. The real world is the other side. And that's very, very true.
So as far as what is your definition of a shaman for our audience? And also, can anyone be a shaman?
Yeah. I mean, some of us are predestined. You know, I knew this and felt this when I was, you know, really a young kid. I watched the elders, and anytime I traveled to another country as I got older, I went and found their medicine men and learned what I could, you know. Dr. Special Forces Camp in Vietnam, first thing I came upon was this little kid. He had a bird tied around him. And I found out from the, you know, the medicine person, the shaman of that particular group and everything, this was a make the boy well because he was sick and keep the evil spirits away. You know, so it's an interaction, basically. They're eager to, embrace our ceremonies, portions of our ceremonies and everything, to conquer difficulties in our lives. A shaman is an individual that helps people transition in life. They help teach everybody the herbs and how to live a more balanced life within themselves, how not to eat those things that are bad, but also that inner connection between the spirit world and the tribe or the clan. You know, in the old battles and everything, they always consulted the shaman before they went in into battle, and if the signs weren't right, then sometimes they wouldn't even go into battle. They'd wait for a different period of time. So my definition of a shaman for now, in today's world, is an individual that understands the truth, helping people transition, helping people understand that they, as an individual, have a connection with the spirit world that they can touch each and every day if they want to. All they have to do is understand that serenity, peace, quiet, you know, these are things that start leading us into a more mellow existence, meditations, and we all have our own little ceremonies. Each and every day we do. We just don't recognize them as ceremonies. You know, might be getting in the car, leaving, going home for work. That's a ceremony in a sense. Going home and having that beer, you know, or whatever. But that's your personal aspect. A shaman is that intermediary between tribes and between the spirit world and the human world. And also the psychologist for the people in the clan or the tribe. The shaman always got involved, even up to the point of almost death. In the old days of the tribes and things like this, when they went into battle, sometimes they were the first ones walking in.
And there's been so many historical finds of shamans from like thousands of years ago. Like lately, there's been, I think, one found with like a pipe and marijuana and psychedelics and like they basically, you know, buried them with these items as well because they were tools to go that were needed to go, I guess, to the other side or to see the other
side.
Well,
Alfonso, when we buried Alfonso, we put his boots, his saddle, his blankets, everything that he liked went with him. And then we took everything out of the house that he did not give to somebody, you know, as when he was alive, and we burned it all. And that's part of the process that we do. And the only thing that they didn't burn was the bed. And I'm going, hey, you know, that's where the spirit spent a lot of time in his last days. You're going to want to do that. So my brother turned around, and his kids were sleeping on that bed before he got a chance. And they started having bad dreams saying Grandpa was there and, you know, all this type of stuff. And so as soon as they turned around and burnt that mattress, then they didn't have the problem anymore. You know, so you're right. The shamans of old, we still do take with us. You know, and that's how come when it comes my turn, it's cremation for me because this physical being, you know, I don't look at it the way the Christians do. When I die physically, I'm going back home to live.
So when you say, this is a question I've asked guests before, mostly guests who are on about ghosts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think we come here if we go back to the where we came from, and obviously, you know, every spiritual tradition talks about how beautiful it is, why do you think, as a soul, why do we come to the earth and incarnate into a place that's so, you know, chaotic and mad?
Well, I believe we have choices. And a lot of the spirits that are being born right now and coming into this world and what you have went through and what I through are individualized. And I believe in what I've been taught and my experience when I, you know, died a couple times here and came back was that we have the capability on the other side to choose, you know, shall we say, our parents, what family we're going to be born into and things. And as soon as that happens, we're born into this, there's a veil. We don't remember everything, but as life goes on, we get bits and pieces of the other side. We can see little things here and there. And basically, that's what I feel. The reason we come down here is to learn, to experience. If you're a spirit, think about this. If you're a pure energy being, which we are before we come here, how can you experience the physical? You're going to want to take a body form, experience the physical, and whatever life we have to go through to learn the particular lessons we need. And then when we pass on in this physical world and we go back, then we have the memories and knowledges and everything that we retained and learned while we were in this life. That's one thing. When I died, it came back. Well, on the other side, I had retained all the knowledge that I have. And when I asked a question on the other side, it was instantly answered. So this is what happens. I think this is really why we come here, to experience, believe it or not, hardships. You know, ups and downs of the physical life, the pains, the limitations that we have in this physical body. And then when we go back there and we start learning, let's say, and then we experience other beings and everything, we'll understand what their physical attributes and limitations might be here. You know, none of us are experts at this. Each one of us are going to have a different experience when we pass over to the other side. But I believe we come here to learn and to experience. And we'll always find one of the people that we knew in a previous existence. Here we can feel it. Just like sometimes you'll look at somebody and you go, man, I just know that person. But you never met him in your life.
Well, shamans, too, have a reverence for ancestors and spirits and guides.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, ceremonies and rituals that, you know, revolve around the spirit world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, normal everyday society, mostly, you know, religious, they don't have that. Everybody's trapped in, you know, concrete houses.
Mm-hmm.
The work,
to fear.
They hate their jobs.
We're taught to hate, we're taught to fear, we're taught all these things. And if a person, like I said, it doesn't matter who you are, you can learn to study and learn how to be bring this shaman out of yourself. I believe every single one of us have a shaman deep down inside. It's whether we let it out or not. It's all up to us. But because of the mindsets and what we have been taught, have you ever seen a movie where it had Roddy Piper in it called They Live?
Yes, well, I mentioned that during the break, too, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, here they go and looking at these signs, you know, obey, reproduce, consume. I mean, that's what we see every day. So then it's no wonder that a lot of people can't find themselves spiritually. They've been taught government, religion, and the media. So, you know, you have to step away from all those things. You know, and that's why we have the Ngleche and everything, this, you know, the Vision Quest and the Sweat Lodge and the Native American ways and the medicine wheel of all things. And these things teach us who we are and how we can keep in balance. And we look at the world as an outside part of ourselves, not something that's, you know, more of a cause and effect. So, you know, when you go to the medicine wheel and you go to the what we call the West, you know, it's the looks within place. Most people don't want to turn around and look at themselves and admit what is wrong within their lives and how they can correct it.
Well, a lot of people are wounded, or what the Tibetans call hungry ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, George Romero said with his first movie, Night of the Living Dead, zombies.
Yeah, and that's exactly what most of society, unfortunately, is. But the good thing here, my friends, and everybody listening, is people are waking up now in large numbers. Look at the Middle East. You know, people, like you said earlier, they're getting tired. You know, they're not getting their families fed. They have no jobs. There's no medicine. There's no, so they're starting to overthrow stuff in a big way. And this is something that is really starting to work its way around the planet. You know, all these third world countries with these dictators will soon become a thing of the past.
Yeah, but the thing with that, it seems like, you know, the society and the people get upset, and then it just turns into violence against violence.
Mm-hmm.
And then the leaders get taken out of position, and then America comes in and puts some other puppet in.
Exactly. And that's exactly what's happening over there right now. We have our
intelligence everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know the echelon system, right? The intelligence system?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that ties right into the NSA, the CIA, and everything, and exactly what you're talking about. They'll create chaos in the country so they'll have a civil war, and then we'll walk in there and whip a little industry or a little U.S. support on them, and so we're tied together there for a period of time until that new regime gets up. And then it happens every single time. We give them weapons, planes, and guess who we end up fighting 30 years later? Same people we armed. You know, so the main thing is people started thinking more spiritually and started looking at one another where they can, you know, feel compassion for one another. Things of this nature, you know, I don't hold any hope out for those who don't. Those who start living their life and realizing that I don't care if you're 60 years old, you can be given life over again day one. Physically, you're still 60, but your spirit, your heart, and your mindset can change in an instant. And you can be happy, you can help people, you can start getting your neighborhoods and your communities together, and it doesn't matter what happens in the rest of the world, because really it doesn't anyway. It's the news media that confuses people and starts throwing the fear-mongering around, you know, the corporate control, all this and that and everything. It's all going to fall. It's all going to fall by the wayside eventually.
And it definitely is. I mean, it seems like we're already in another economic crash.
We are going to go into the depression aspect. It's going to be years before things get any better. if they turn around and raise this debt ceiling again and things, the dollar isn't going to be worth diddly here pretty soon, you know. And people, I just, my thing is be prepared. Don't be scared. Be prepared. Get prepared. Start storing some, you know, simple medical supplies, food. And, you know, you can go to places and get food fairly cheap. But, you know, we're going to have about a 2 or 3 year period of time that's going to be hard for people. But in the long run, I see good things coming from it.
So I've seen you mention Planet X, correct?
Yeah.
I'm watching a video. What is your perspective of Planet X?
Well, I believe that there is something out there that is coming through. I believe that it has affected our planet before. I mean, it's in every single legend and hieroglyphics and everything you want to talk about, from Chinese to Central, South American, North American, Irish, everything. They all talk about another planet coming through our system.
And there was just a big space find that claimed that there are indeed roaming planets from, like, a big, I guess, NASA or somebody.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It's because common sense would tell you there are. If a star turns around and blows up, it is no longer there, okay, except for maybe supernovas. So it blows all these external planets that are way out there on the outer rims out into space. You know, they've when I lived near Mount Palomar, Eric Von Dunnigan lived in that area, and we got a chance to talk to him a few times. And that's when I really realized, wow, yeah, there has to be these rogue planets, as they call them. And I think I read about a week ago and heard about that also, what you're talking about, they finally admitted. Well, heck, it's common sense to tell you that there was. You know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out, I believe.
You know, after a star blows up and leaves like a quasar,
mm-hmm.
You familiar with what a quasar is?
Oh, yeah. I love that. I got a 6-inch telescope sitting next to me, so I'm into astronomy.
Oh, I love it, man. But, dude, they have planets that have formed around quasars.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
That's
fantastic.
Yeah, it's just amazing. I mean, they can form anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And, we have been spoon-fed, you know, the sciences that are out there right now for a long, long time. And this is one of the fantastic things that's happening. Science is starting to blow its own self out of the water. You know, these new discoveries, these rogue planets, other Earth-like planets way out there. The 1974 wow signal, you know, things of this nature, you know. People are waking up, scientists are waking up. And the old paradigm of all the old scientists, well, it has to be this way because this is the way we said it, is getting blown out of the water. And it isn't accepted anymore. You know, we've got string theory, membrane theory, which I love these things.
It's all the physicists that are the cowboys now.
Yeah.
And they're making all these discoveries, and they're really pushing, they're getting people out of the, you know, they're all stuck in the mud.
Yeah.
They're getting them out of the mud, and science is starting to wake up again and look at a lot of things.
And
news lately is just totally bizarre. It's just,
oh, yeah. You know, it's really cool right now, though. Science has proven spirituality. That's what's happening right now.
Yeah.
A few scientists did this experiment. They took one particle. Scientist said it was going to work this way. Another scientist said, no, this particle is going to react this way. So they did in a national laboratory, and I think it was Los Alamos, from where I heard it from. So the scientist walks in, looks at the electronic microscope, and sees this particle and says, it's going to react this way. Before he went in the room, so he had these preconceived thoughts, these ideas. And that's exactly what happened. Same particle. Another scientist comes in 20 minutes later and says, before he goes in, it's going to act this way. When he went in, it did exactly what he said. So that proves, without a doubt, that our thoughts can manipulate matter at the quantum level. That's how shamanism works. That's how, as they say, magic works. We start creating a flow, an energy flow in the quantum level, and then it soon, over a period of time, depending on how much energy and will and things you put into it, manifests in the physical world.
Yeah, I think all thought, I think all works at that level.
Mm-hmm. It does. It really does. And that's how come if a person's thinking of bills and negative stuff all the time and everything, that's what they get. if they're a happy person and they say, you know, instead of seeing the glass as half empty, they see it as half full, then their concept of reality is different. They're working at a higher vibratory rate. Therefore, all these good things start happening to them, and you start noticing that after a period of time, they're not having problems anymore.
Right.
Well, it's because we create our own realities. That's, you know, there's so many teachers that I grew up reading. Like, for instance, when I was 17, I had testicular cancer. I went through chemo. I got healed. And I had a dream of a medicine man visiting me during chemotherapy. Well, later on, I was healed from chemotherapy and definitely angel help going through it at that age. And then after that, my father passed away, so I started, like, trying to read everything I could get my hands on to try to figure out, you know, why all this tragedy and, you know, what was going on with the afterlife. And I started reading books on shamanism and, you know, just anything I could get my hands on. And the tragedy that sparked all
that was definitely a rebirth, no doubt about it. And I've always been just very fascinated by shamanism and studied it a lot. I'm not going to go around saying, hey, I'm a shaman, yada, 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 but I definitely find it very fascinating.
Sure. Yeah, you have all of us have, as I say, this shaman within us, you know. And the experiences that you experienced in your life, the negative ones and the positive ones, it kind of guided your path along. But since you were an individual that was looking more into spiritualness and what was on the other side and how it affects you in this existence, you've been able to turn around and change things within your life, create a new paradigm for you, what you wanted to happen in your life. That's why you're sitting behind the microphone right now. You created that. You know, we all create thoughts in our heads, but it's up to us whether we want those things to manifest. We put enough energy into it, it's going to happen.
Rock and roll. That's right.
Yeah.
So what about all these people that are sitting around who are Christians who are like, Jesus is coming back, the Antichrist, Wormwood, the seas are going to turn red. What about all that energy that's building up? Are they creating Armageddon?
Yes. I love the way you put that. Because
and how do we stop it?
The only thing we can do is counter it with the energy. You know,
with
we
fire.
We
lots of
right
it.
Now. Wait, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
I said with fire and lots of it.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing, if that's what you expect, that's what's going to happen. And once you start countering things, you know, you don't need a majority of people to create a change. You need a minority that's going to change the hearts of the people. Once you create right. that type of flow, then you'll get change. And that's what's happening, I believe, out there a lot. A lot of us are always, you know, we see the negative things the government's doing or, you know, the Catholic Church issues and, you know, all this Middle East and craziness. But, you know, there's always a storm, and then it gets calm, and then things start working out better. We're going through this transition right now because we have to. If we don't go through this transition of this war and all this type of stuff, people aren't going to understand what they really need to do to keep the peace.
For us to make this transition, to survive it, I believe humanity has to look within and we have to become our own superheroes.
Yeah, we have to. And, you know, that's important. Just like all the grandchildren look up to their grandma and grandpas, you know. Ah, these are the great people in our lives, you know. Now we have to do that for one another. We have to look at what we can do, not what we can't do. We have to look at evolving and growing, because really creation and evolution work together, whether a person wants to realize it or not. It does. It all works together, and that's just the way that is. Shamans see this and work with this every day in people's lives. They start teaching them the transition, how to wake up. Once they wake up, really, I can't emphasize this enough. Once a person has decided on what pill they're going to take, if they take the right pill and they wake up, they're going to realize that this matrix of society, you know, these lawmakers and all that, really don't affect us, because we're not doing anything in society to break a law or anything anywhere. We're living a natural law existence. And once you start doing that, you're not even a part of this matrix of society and all the deceptions and stuff anymore. You just simply step away from it.
You know, I think somewhere down inside of me, I do believe that there is some sort of change happening.
Sure.
It's just a gut feeling that I have.
And that's what we all have.
I got nothing else to go by, you know. But I'll say this. I think it's going to pass a lot of people by.
Yeah. Hence the old saying, my friend, you know, you can help some people, but you can't help them all. And that is the same thing with just each individual living their lives. Some of them are going to catch on and understand what's going on, or some are not. They're just going to continue on.
Yeah, or not care.
Mm-hmm. Not caring is the big thing, you know. When that happens, then the person actually loses a part of themselves, and that's when they need help. Those people that don't care have lost the spiritual aspect of who and what they really are.
Yeah, that's you know, the issue that I have with atheists, because, you know, they don't allow for any spiritual anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they think you just die and rot in the ground.
Yeah, you know, I had a friend that was an atheist one time, and you know where he left his will? In a Bible.
Oh, I know. That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny. It is, man. People just the last second, you know, the last minute deathbed recant or whatever.
Exactly, you know. And when we found it was just like, oh my God. We had a good laugh because this guy didn't believe in anything.
He probably did it as a joke.
Well, no, he was serious. You know, the note and letter he left and everything like that. It was kind of funny because all this time, I'm an atheist, I'm this and that, and really all atheists got to believe in something, you know, whether they want to believe it or not, or say they believe in something or not, they are believing in something, you know, so whether it's when we die, that's it, we're just physically, I would love to be a fly on the wall on the other side and watch one of these guys cross over, you know, they're in for a big surprise.
Yeah.
Definitely, no doubt about it. Well, I've been, how long do we got, Guy?
We got like 5 minutes.
I've definitely noticed, you know, lately with, I started watching the first season of Ancient Aliens, and there's just such compelling proof being broken down right now that there's no doubt that we're all, you know, of extraterrestrial origin, are connected and are one with these creators. Mm-hmm. And just watching the Ancient Aliens, it was just, you know, they're taking you through evidence that's just so compelling. And it definitely seems strange that, you know, History Channel, it's just so blunt, and the proof's right under our noses when it comes to extraterrestrials.
Isn't that exciting, though? I mean, think about it. When we want to find an alien, all we got to do is go look in the mirror. You know, really. I mean, because it comes right down to that. But the fact is, what is wrong with believing that part of our genetics comes from somewhere else besides this world? It gives us hope. It really does. And it doesn't matter what anybody thinks about it. You know, if a race came here and created us and everything, and maybe if we get ourselves together, that we're going to be able to do the same thing here in the future. Leave this small world and everything and adventure out there and have adventures and become a, you know, just travel, you know, go out there, spread things, learn, and get away from this violence and all this crazy stuff we're doing. Sure, we might have to protect ourselves out there against some, you know, negative force or something, but that's what it's all about, you know. We have to go beyond what we normally do in our daily lives, and that's how we grow. And by growing, things only can get better once we pay attention to history.
You know, there's some of that data on that show is very compelling.
I love it.
They do a lot of speculation though, and they do reach a bit, but
mm-hmm.
you know, that's like with any show, you know.
Yeah, what do you want to reach? Even in our even our normal lives, we want to reach out for something that we haven't attained before.
Right.
Whether it's a way of looking at things or seeing things or whatever.
Ever since I was a little kid, I've always stuttered that we didn't have any special powers or defenses against our environment. If you look at a dog, it's got hair, it can It can smell different mm-hmm. things. I mean, it's got all these different things that it can
that it can do.
Would allow you to live on a planet. You know what I mean? Like, to mm-hmm. survive.
Yeah, we don't have that.
We don't have any of that. We have no fur. We have no you know, claws or teeth to defend ourselves.
Fangs,
we could make a we could make a tool, but
uh-huh.
that takes time. We have to sit and think things out.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
if
a storm comes, if a storm comes in, or what, you know, you're attacked by something.
Oh yeah,
we have no defenses. We're these fragile.
If it wasn't for our technology, we would be at the end of the food chain.
Well, yeah, and you know what? If you really think about our mentality and how humans are,
mm-hmm.
we're almost exactly the same as we were, 10,000 years ago, 8,000 years ago.
I'm right.
We just have better technology.
Yeah, I'm working in a chapter in my book right now. It's dealing with exactly what we're talking about right now.
Yeah, right? I mean, we still worship gods, and we still have the superstitions, and we still have the... We all cower and we're all fearful. We're exactly the same.
Yeah, well, we're taught not to believe in ourselves. That's where all of them.
Right.
You know, we have to believe in something other than ourselves. We can't look at this God power that we have in our of creation we have in ourselves. We're very creative beings. But, those that are in control and the churches and everything say, oh, we can't look at ourselves. We have to look at this other thing. This is where everything comes from. We can't even take the credit for what we do. When we should. By taking credit for what we do, we grow each and every time.
All right, William, well, we're at the end of our show. I want to thank you for doing the show. It's been excellent, and I hope to have you on again sometime. What is your link again for everyone?
My link is williamwhitecrow.com, or you can reach me by email at williamwhitecrow@yahoo.com, or you can go to Facebook and get a hold of me there, too, at William Whitecrow. So, and I always answer my emails. It may take me a few days because I'm only one person, but I always answer the emails.
All right,
well, we appreciate it, and thanks for doing the show. Have a good weekend.
Okay, you guys too. It has been a blast. Let's do it again one day.
All right, take care, man.
Okay, bye-bye, you guys. Have a good time.